Well, how you doing? Zach Kostin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tom Crawford.
Holy mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast. Windsor's only local sports podcast, presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm your host every Monday for the Wind City Sports Podcast, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. Again, coming to you every single Monday morning with a brand new episode, with a new interview with a local athlete, coach, entrepreneur, or beyond. Be sure to follow us on social media at WindCity_sports on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a subscribe on our YouTube channel. We're very present on social media. After 5 years going strong, we are very easy to find. Just simply search up the Wind City Sports Podcast and give us a review, a rating on whatever app you might use for podcasting or on social media, whatever it may be. Please give us a big thumbs up, share with your friends, tell your friends about the Wind City Sports Podcast. But let's get started with our last episode of 2021. Talk about that in a minute. But today is Monday, December 13th, 2021, and it's episode 237 of Wind City Sports. And yes, this will be our last episode of the year. We always take a two-week break around Christmas and New Year's. I thought I was going to come back with you next week with this interview, but things work out better to take a break following this week, and we'll be back first week of January going strong. So I think that's going to work out good for us. Still have some good interviews in the bank that will be released in the future, so you guys are going to be very happy to hear some of those, as well as today's interview, which is someone I've been trying to get on for a long time, and a funny story about how I did. But an Amherstburg native, a Princeton graduate, Stanley Cup champion, and now executive representative for the NHL is Amherstburg's Kevin Westgarth. Kevin's going to join us today on the Wind City Sports Podcast, all the way from New York City, living the high life of an NHL executive now. Is this kid all the way out from Amherstburg. He played junior hockey in Chatham, actually, for the Chatham Junior Maroons before going off to Princeton. Not a big deal. Ivy League school, obviously, if you've heard of it. Good hockey program as well. So him and his brother actually went out there together. Hear all about it in the interview with Kevin Westgarth. Talk about his NHL career. Obviously winning the Stanley Cup, among many things. There's so many things I could have talked about with Westgarth that I'm like almost kicking myself for skipping over some things. But nevertheless, it's great to have him on, and a guy that I've wanted to get on for a long time. And again, funny story about how we did get him on is, like they say, you know, shoot your shot. Maybe not a good way to open up with that, but Wayne Gretzky says, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And you know, doing this podcast, just like, how do I get in touch with people? And this is what I told Kevin too when we talked, is like, you know, everyone says you should have Westgarth on. Well, of course. Well, you got his phone number? Like, I how am I gonna get in touch with him, right? So I took a shot and just sent an email to what I thought would have been his email, and I was successful. So Shot in the Dark ends up with our last episode of 2021. One of my favorite chats in a while. Great talk here coming up with Kevin Westgarth. And before we get into that, I want to tell you about one of his local car dealerships and our official sponsor on the Wind City Sports Podcast, and that's Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. The holiday countdown event continues on as we roll into the new year, and as new models approach, they're offering great deals on the new 2020 GMC Yukon, the 2022 Chevrolet Suburban, and the new 2022 Chevrolet Tahoe. And that's just to name a few. We also have a few more 2022s in stock. Great deals, great people down there at Amherstburg Chevy GMC. They're proud to serve all the folks in Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and surrounding areas. They provide top-notch quality service to everyone who walks through the doors, and this includes assistance with picking out a new ride, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. So check them out at AmherstburgGM.com as well, located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, Ontario. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you too. All right, now before we roll into the interview with Westgarth, I just want to get you caught up with our Windsor Spitfires, of course. Spitfires have been on a roll since the last time talking to you guys, 3-0 in the last week, even defeating the number one team in the London Knights. Last week they started things off at home with a 4-1 win over Owen Sound on Wednesday. Friday night there in London at the Budweiser Gardens and knocked off the number one ranked team, the Knights, 4-1 was the final. Only to come home the next day, welcoming in Kitchener, another good team, beating them 2-1. Two huge wins back-to-back and three in a row. They're on a four-game win streak and have moved up to fourth place in the Western Conference with a record of 12-8-2-2. And another trade for the Spitfires coming in last Tuesday. The Spitfires have received Jacob Mallet from the Guelph Storm and sent over a fifth-round draft pick this year in 2022 and a conditional 12th-round pick in 2024. Mallet is from Dundas, Ontario. He was drafted by the Storm back in 2018, 6'1" forward. He played 51 games in his rookie season for the Storm. And so far this year, played 23 games, got 6 points and 2 goals, 4 assists. Doesn't list what the conditional is on the article on WindsorSpitfires.com, better yet. But coming up next for the Spitfires, they actually have a game this Thursday at home. I guess it wouldn't be the last home game of the year because we obviously have our New Year's Eve game. But they're going to welcome the Sioux Greyhounds to the WFSU Center this Thursday, 7:30 game. And then on Friday, they'll be in Saginaw. So Spits fans this week, just one game at home, Thursday night at the WFSU against Sioux. We'll get you caught up with anything else in Windsor sports coming up following our interview with Kevin Westgarth. We're going to tell you about Tony Laramie winning his most recent MMA fight, first in a while, I can imagine, following Kyle Prepperlik. Not a ton of Lancer news to talk about or St. Clair Saints to talk about, obviously, on their Christmas break, but we'll get you caught up with some other cool stuff following our interview with Kevin Westgarth, former NHL player, Stanley Cup champion, right here out of Amherstburg, Ontario, is Kevin. And now the Vice President of Hockey Development and Strategic Collaboration for the NHL, Kevin Westgarth. Here we go. All right now I'm joined by an Amherstburg native, a former junior, Chad Maroon as well. He's a Princeton grad and former NHLer. He raised the cup with the LA Kings in 2012 and also spent time with the Hurricanes, Calgary Flames, and now VP of Hockey Development and Strategic Collaboration for the NHL, Kevin Westgarth. Thanks for joining
us. Hey, thanks, Drake. Good to be with you.
Absolutely, man. So where are you, in Toronto now? Or
I'm in New York, actually.
New York. Holy shit. Yeah. Long way from the Berg, man.
Oh, yeah. It's a little different. I have two boys that are, growing up as New Yorkers and Brooklynites. So, yeah, a little bit different than growing up in Amherstburg.
Yeah, that's cool. Obviously, I knew you've taken on this role after hockey, working for the NHL, could be placed really anywhere. But figure, Toronto's the spot. And if not, I guess next big step is New York. I mean, right in New York.
Yeah, so I live out in Brooklyn. The city, yeah. Office in the city is Manhattan. We actually just moved, coming back from the pandemic, to it's kind of nice. We're an avenue block over from Madison Square Garden. So, if you got to go to a game, it makes that a little easier.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, we got our offices in Toronto, a lot of hockey ops, and obviously the war room that everybody loves to talk about up there. And then another office, kind of historical office, deals with some registry and pension stuff in Montreal. So, yeah, we're spotted throughout the big cities of North America.
That's cool. It's cool to hear. And again, just a guy from the Windsor area, long road, man. So I'm sure growing up was a lot of fun out there. You and your brother, both good hockey players. So what was life growing up like for you?
I mean, it is very funny, as you're pointing out, like now that I live in New York, and it actually has come up more often just because, thinking of the differences that my boys are seeing than what I grew up with. It was great. We lived in a subdivision called Point West, and it had a golf course, actually, which was pretty close and certainly fun for the summer to while away some hours out there. But yeah, it was nice. Lots of went to Saint-Jean-Baptiste, which I don't think is there anymore. I think it combined with, or maybe it's still there, forgive me for all my fellow alum. But then General Amherst High School, and some great experience there. Played a lot of hockey in Amherstburg, and yeah, like you said, ended up going to Chatham to kind of really start my high level hockey, mm-hmm. Junior B at and go 17 at that point. So yeah, it was, you know, great place to grow up. Loved playing ball hockey in the streets. It was pretty wonderful county kid.
Yeah, it doesn't get old. Like, you know, I kind of ask some people the same kind of questions, you know, where are you from in Windsor? But it doesn't get old to hear everyone's kind of unique story. And of course, everyone has a different story, right? I'm sure I could have anticipated that answer, but we got to hear it right from the horse's mouth, you know, street hockey games. Did you play a lot of other sports growing up, or was it mostly hockey?
Oh, all everything. Yeah. You know, mentioned getting the opportunity to golf, but yeah, we would played baseball, soccer, mixed in some tennis in there. I think in grade school, I played basketball. Believe it or not, I finesse part of it wasn't my game. It was more of a box out and rebound kind of guy, which I suppose was carried over to other sports.
You're the second guy to tell me that this week. And so you and Eddie Mio are no basketball players.
Well, it works out, I guess, kind of comprehensively. My wife played basketball at Princeton. She's a far better athlete than I was, like four-time All-Ivy, Ivy League champ. Like, she was, you know, I'm a little biased, but I dare say arguably the best women's basketball player at Princeton history.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah, I know. Like, there's so much to talk about. I almost forget about that kind of stuff now, right? Like, the connections that you have in your life. And speaking of which, I mean, being cool to play with your brother growing up and into Princeton as well. So I'm sure you remember those days with the Maroons pretty well. Again, having your older brother with you as well.
Yeah, it was, as you know, you and I'm sure everybody in Windsor Essex County knows, like, it's kind of funny because he was 2 years older than me. So we never played once we got out of novice at the time. Like, we never played together. So I don't know how my parents freaking did it, you know, getting us around even the county, much less, you know, the rest of the province and into Michigan and all that. But pretty awesome. I was able to join Brett. He had played a season for the junior Maroons in Chatham under Dave Torrey, who was just one of the best. Ironically, now works for my old team, the LA Kings. I think he's still scouting away and doing great. I was able to join him there and actually really led, kind of followed his, or rode his coattails, I suppose. You know, the assistant coach from Princeton had come to watch him when I was just starting, and I guess they liked what they saw and kind of asked me to apply pretty soon after my junior career had started. So it was quite a season for me where I was, you know, playing hockey for General Amherst and Amherstburg. So to make the leap from basically, you know, small center travel hockey in high school to junior, and then to already have a college asking you to apply was I still shake my head that happened.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
fortunate timing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, leading up to those days in high school, you never thought, like, you know, maybe I'll go to Princeton, maybe I'll go here, you know what I mean? So,
it definitely was not a big part of my thought process. I think pretty much all I knew it from was Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Exactly. Yeah.
I knew it was a good school.
Yeah, of course, an Ivy League school. I mean, and your brother had went there, like you mentioned. I was going to ask, of course, you know, how do you end up in Princeton? Obviously, your brother's there, but was there other options, or once they had made that offer, it just only made sense to go with Brett, right?
Yeah, and you know, taking a step back, like my parents were veterinarians, so I suppose obviously, like, education was very important in our household. And like, you know, like I'm sure most people, it was kind of like you had to keep up your grades to play hockey, which thankfully was never a big problem. But when Princeton had come to see Brett, actually, ironically, they'd come to see another kid named Brian Campbell, Soupy, obviously, and not that Brian Campbell. Actually, I think he's working for the Red Wings these days. Great player. I ironically didn't end up going to Princeton. He went to Union, but they saw my brother. And then basically the same thing happened the next year when they came and saw me. So there really wasn't much of a question. It was like, if I get into the school, I'm definitely doing this. It's like, you know, the being able to mix hockey and academics was I couldn't have dreamed up a better situation. And couldn't also wouldn't change it at this point either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, when you're a young kid, you just want to go to the NHL and you want to win the Stanley Cup. She did, but I mean, like, you know, you're not thinking about that. You're not thinking like, I can go to a really good school and get a good education for after hockey. You're just like, nah, like, do they have a good hockey team? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, I mean, you have to have good grades to get into a school like that. You know, I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but there's always that stigma about hockey players and you're going to an Ivy League school. Have you ever had that, you know, like, oh, you're supposed to be dumb kind of interaction, I suppose?
Yeah. And I don't run from it, to be honest. I always enjoyed, and I used to get, my buddies used to give me a bit of crap for kind of, you know, being the, I believe this is from, it was a football movie with Johnny Moxon, James Vanderbeek, and all that, where it's like, you're the damn dumbest smart kid I know. Yeah. You know, I used to have a little bit of that. So I at least kind of fit the mold that people expected. And in a weird way, I feel like, you know, in years since, it's like, if people don't know I went to Princeton or whatever, it's like, oh, you're just a hockey player. And then be able to surprise people with stuff that they don't know is always kind of a fun experience. So,
yeah. And it's cool for, you know, people watching the game to see like a different side of someone, right? Like, of course, everyone thinks the same about every hockey player. And then, you know, now for obviously to be doing your role and helping the game, it really is showing, you know, your worth, I guess, you know?
Trying, man.
Yeah.
Trying. That's all we can do, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to skip over any more Windsor Essex stuff. So before we continue on, you know, we were talking before, you know, just hearing some guys on the show and like telling stories and stuff. You played in Chatham, you played in Amherstburg. What can you kind of say about the hockey systems here? I mean, there's all over the place, right? But clearly a lot of great hockey players coming out of the area. What can you attest to all the coaches that you had and stuff and still going these days, you know?
Yeah. No, it was a fantastic place to grow up playing hockey. And actually, we were talking about how Andy Delmore was on a few weeks ago, and it was fun to listen to him. I was a little, you know, a few years younger than him. So like Sun County AAA had come around by then for the county. And I played for that for a couple of years before getting cut and heading back to Amherstburg. But there was something beautiful about just playing and in your local center and, you know, being at the league now and, you know, hearing people in big cities, be it Toronto or New York or Detroit for that matter. You know, there is such a drive to be elite early. Like, you know, I think it's does a bit of a disservice to, you know, the kids' development on and off the ice and, you know, to the game being able to, kind of give exposure and access to people who, you know, aren't the kids of NHL players or, you know, might want to try it. So it's, you know, I definitely don't want to have this golden era mentality that things were perfect back in the day and now they're all screwed up. It's always ever evolving and ever changing, but no, it was definitely a special place to play. And yeah, I had some great coaches. Actually, I mentioned Dave Torrey, had him for a year in Chatham. He was awesome. I would say still probably my top two or three all time, like bench coaches, his ability, like match lines was, and kind of set up a game that way was incredible.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. Just, it starts in your small, town and it's still as relevant, you know, as the years go on and, throughout the whole area, you know, there's just so much pristine when it comes to hockey. So love to talk about it. That's, you know, that's why I'm still doing this after all these years.
No, props to you. It's great. And yeah, I always kind of laugh that I don't know if I had much option becoming an enforcer, looking at the roster of most of the guys that came from our area. Even kind of contemporaries like Steve Ott, well, maybe not quite an enforcer. He certainly liked the physical side. You know, obviously it goes on from Darren McCarty down through or over through Proby and Jim Cummins is nearby and Ty Domi. It's a pretty good list.
Yeah,
I would put up the Windsor Essex County team at least in a physical match against most other areas.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean that's definitely a topic that's been talked about before on the show as well. I mean, just I think you kind of were one of those Windsor guys that they were probably like, sure as shit, this guy's from Windsor.
And I better not forget about Bundy, Warren Reichel. What a beauty.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. The list just goes on and on. Not only of talented players, but of tough players that have come from the area.
For sure.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I'm sure you and Brett were a tough pair to be matched again at some points. And from playing with each other in junior to college, both in the AHL, now playing against each other, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. No, we certainly were like most brothers growing up and two active boys. And as I mentioned, I'm going through it now. My brother and I were 2 years to the day apart. My boys are like 19 and a half months apart. So this has been an interesting evolution to see how many headaches we must have been giving my parents over all these years. But I think it paid dividends for on the ice, I suppose. We certainly were used to the rough stuff. And playing with him at Princeton was super special. We actually ended up graduating the same year.
Yeah.
And probably took it for granted that it was happening back then, but a year since, it's pretty crazy to tell people. It's like, yeah, no, we actually played together for 3 years and actually graduated together from a school like 1,000 miles away. And pretty special. And then ended up playing each other a bunch in the AHL, and he had quite a little career that I think he enjoyed for a little while, and then he went on to use his brain for bigger, better things. So
yeah, is he in consulting now? Or
he's kind of bounced through different consulting roles over years. So again, I love chatting with him. He's pretty helpful for his thought process and thinking things through for me, and always telling me things that I basically don't understand about his fintech consulting startup company that he's working for. It's a lot of fun though, having different stories.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, good dynamic to bounce stuff off each other, I'm sure. I mean, obviously both being in the game as well, it's not like he's no stranger to this.
That was some of the best. Was we were very adamantly told by mom that we weren't allowed to fight each other. So I think there is a picture that we got a hold of where we ran into each other in the corner, and it's basically a huge yard sale because kind of neither one of us got the better of it. And he's like Garfielded up against the glass, and I'm like, going head over heels in the corner. So, we didn't fight each other, but we didn't hesitate to throw a hit anyway.
Mom would still consider that a fight.
Yeah, probably.
But it's special, man, to do those things, even just growing up with your brothers and to, have it go that far into your career is rare. So
it's really absolutely
cool. I mean, you guys both graduating at around the same year, you said about 2007. What did you graduate from?
At school, I majored in psychology and kind of did the pre-med requirements. Yeah. And, mentioned my parents are veterinarians, always loved kind of medicine, and quite a place to be for having that interest, given that we would after school basically walk to their clinic and could watch surgeries sometimes. could like lend a hand cleaning the dog and cat cages and anything between there as well. So yeah, that's certainly and then playing hockey, I broke my arm when I was 17, actually my second year in Chatham. So I was 18, and just to think about, I ended up getting plates put in, so I had to have it truly fixed. And just to think that this doctor basically saved my hockey career, and to imagine that impact to know that impact that surgeon had on me, and to think basically in a different world, maybe I would become an orthopedic surgeon or something like that if I could get through all the schoolwork. But still loved all my docs that I had over those years, and got to enjoy sometimes watching the surgery on myself when I was going through those at the pro level too.
Yeah. So I'm sure you had a few visits. So came in handy for sure. But, we were talking about you and your brother and, kind of being parallel with each other. And one thing else I just realized, if I'm not mistaken, both undrafted, both graduate from college, both signed pro the same year. So you end up with the infamous Monarchs, the Manchester Monarchs. So how did it kind of go down for you signing your first pro contract?
Well, it's once again wild to look back at that, because my brother and I were both seniors. We had gotten kind of in touch with an advisor who was kind of helping us just through the process. He'd gotten us to a couple like rookie camp type things in previous summer. So there was like a bit of, I don't quite call it buzz. It wasn't, Adam Fox, but it was people at least knew our names. And we were playing Dartmouth in the second round of the playoffs, which is pretty great since Princeton. We didn't have quite the most successful 4 years of a college, but we did win more games every year I was there. So won a playoff round, ended up losing to Dartmouth, and pretty devastating to know that you've lived and died and ate and messed around with all these guys for 4 years, and to know that it was over was pretty sad. So to go from one of the lowest moments to talking to the advisor who was like, all right, LA wants to sign you to this and this that we talked about, like they're gonna max out the signing bonus and keep the minimum or sign at the minimum. It was just like, whoa, what? And kind of one of the lowest moments to one of the highest moments. That's like, holy crap, you're signing a two-way NHL contract today. And, it was pretty special to obviously both share that with my brother. My brother went to play in Syracuse in the AHL, and I went to Manchester. And then a few of our other teammates also went on to play, which was, it was just amazing to share it with those guys who we had been just, living every minute with for the previous 4 years.
Yeah. Again, just like everything else, just like junior high school, college hockey, it's they always say the best 4 years of your life or whatever. And you think like, whatever. But once it's all said and done, you're like, damn, they were right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
and I always try to think that the best 4 years will be the next 4 years. But
yeah.
Or else we're doing it wrong, I suppose. But there's a special place in there for those university years.
Yeah, just if you can have so many memories from basically couple of years when you're young like that, it obviously stands out, right? So it's what it is, I suppose. But
and as we get older, our perspective on responsibilities and priorities change a little bit. So it's very funny to think of how different our things we needed to do, and perhaps how we don't look at them as quite as important anymore. But, it was a big deal back then.
Yeah, for sure, man. Time's definitely changing, but you're still involved in it. And of course, like, this was just the beginning of kind of your hockey career, I guess, for some people that know of you from the NHL, of course. So, spent a couple of years in the minor system before getting called up and, proving your worth to eventually make that LA team. So I'm sure you remember your first call up, first game, how to kind of go down for you, and what do you remember?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I got called up and joined the team, I believe in LA. Paradoxically, playing the Red Wings, so also meant I didn't play that game. my skill set wasn't quite required, but they wanted me around. So then the next game, we went to Dallas. I found out like my family, a bunch of people were watching. I got to take warmups, and then didn't play the game. So then our next game was in Minnesota. And at the time, Derek Bogard was there. So certainly fired myself up and found out that I was playing that night, and was, not worried, but obviously aware that Boogie was quite the scrapper. And wondered if we were going to go. We didn't end up going, but learned a good lesson, because at one point, right as Evenons, who was kind of the other enforcer on the Kings, we got up early, which was obviously great from a team standpoint, not great for me wanting to show that I could scrap. I kind of turned to him like, what do you think? Like, we're up, but I don't want to lose momentum. Like, should I fight? And he's like, no, don't worry about it. Then the next thing I know, I like turn around, he's on the ice fighting Boogie. I was like, oh yeah, that's a good lesson. Like, we are on a team, but we also don't want to lose our jobs. So fair enough, buddy.
Yeah.
But he was a good dude too. So it was great. But yeah. Also remember that was the day that Barack Obama got inducted or inaugurated.
Yeah.
January 20th. When was that? Geez,
2009.
Yeah. And so, you know, two big things happened that day. One of them probably bigger for the world.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the newspaper is Obama here and yeah, started to way down here. But anyway, that's cool. It's cool because that's a crazy time in just the world and in hockey and sports, you know, that around 2010, just when social media was starting to come in. So there's still a lot of like mystery around those times and especially yeah, that LA team. Man, what a franchise to be part of that beginning. I mean, I don't imagine you were ever like a Kings fan growing up. Were you a Wings fan? And is that why maybe that first game would have been a little sentimental? Or
the Wings were always, you know, those were the games I got to go to.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm sure like most of the listeners, for the NHL, that was my going to the Joe.
Yeah, of course.
Back then was, you know, my foot in the door with the NHL. And so it was special though. Basically, my parents were Wings fans. My brother became a Leafs fan, which I can see you might be based on that flag behind you.
Yep, I know.
So couldn't be any of those things, obviously. I ended up becoming a Bruins fan because I loved Cam Neely and wanted to play like him.
It's interesting being in Windsor and, you know, people's home or favorite teams. You know, if it's not Toronto or Detroit, it's like I just like the team because of a guy or because of whatever, right? It's yeah. But then those are the people that get razzed. Like, why do you like Boston? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was it. And I suppose it's kind of kept going that way. I, you know, I suppose I'm supposed to be impartial, or I am impartial at the league. But you know, kind of root for and against players.
Yeah,
mostly for, but there's a handful of guests. So
yeah.
And I won't comment on exactly who.
Well, there's still guys that I'm sure you played against that are in the league, right?
You're spot on. And some of them become elite superstars, which I cannot wrap my mind around.
Unbelievable. What could
playing
happen?
Playing for my favorite team, but he's grown on me a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the little fellow there.
I think everyone could figure that out pretty easily. But again, man, like 2010 or 11, 12, obviously that year, huge year, first NHL goal that year as well. Do you remember your first goal?
Yeah, that was, it was pretty awesome. Actually back in Dallas thinking about it. I think we were in Dallas and, you know, grinding away on the fourth line, Colin Frazier kind of deflected a pass away that came right to me, snapped it in mostly top corner. I was playing with Ethan Moreau and Colin Frazier. Yeah, and that was, you know, it was a long time coming for one thing. And it was also, I knew a couple of the guys on the Stars, actually, Steve Ott and a handful of other guys. And like, it was both very nice, but also a little bit like I was a mascot because a couple of them came over and like gave me a tap on the butt and like, hey, nice goal, Westy. And like the refs were like cheering for me. It was like, ah, boy, Westy. So I was like, thanks, guys. But also like, I need to score some more. So,
yeah,
so it's not such a big deal.
I feel you. But man, that's a crazy year. So, you know, your first goal, you're kind of, you know, in and out of the lineup years before that. So now you've finally secured your spot, but you know, unfortunately that you hurt your hand that year and you're out for a bit. You know, obviously that's the year the Kings win their first Stanley Cup and you're still there to raise the cup with them and name engraved and all that. Did they just feel like you were such a big part of the team? They wanted you, like, what's the story there? You know, normally it's like, you got to play so many games and blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah. I truly appreciate like Dean Lombardi and Ron Hextall, who's, you know, obviously moved. It's all somewhat changed. Even Daryl Sutter, like, who I didn't even get to play a whole lot for. They all did really appreciate, and like part of our messaging and part of what probably made us, you know, that kind of team was obviously how important everybody was, it's like they're part of the role. And obviously having been around for, what was it, in the organization for 4 or 5 years at that point, up and down the minors, but had kind of gotten to be a part of this rebuild. And you know, our team was just big and strong, and you know, they could kind of do it by committee. So my role was a little bit I guess marginalized. And you know, we just had big, strong, good hockey players, which was awesome to see. But you know, obviously go through the minors with some of those guys, including Jonathan Quick and like Alec Martinez and Trevor Lewis, and
the list goes on, so many guys you can name.
It was, you know, living and dying in Manchester for a few years with those guys. It was pretty ridiculous to hold the cup. It was It was a surreal moment then and a surreal moment now. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just can't trust everything you read online, right? So I'm like, there has to be a little bit of a story here. If there's something I missed back in 2010, you can't really look it up anymore, you know? So I figured it is a cool story, man, to, you know, technically they could have just left you sitting there, but you know, the boys wanted you to be part of this celebration.
Yeah, no, I appreciated that, you know, front office. And it really was just a pretty special group of people. And yeah, pretty nice to be, you know, connected for life with all the players. And,
oh, yeah.
And the staff. It is amazing. Actually, maybe probably one of my favorite moments. It was a few days after, and I'm pretty sure half the guys probably hadn't gone to bed. We had like a couple of things. I think we went to a Dodgers game and like, you know, threw out a first pitch, and like finally it was kind of like calming down, and so everybody was like gassed and ready to go to bed. And like, all right, what do we want to do with the cup? Like the Hall of Fame guys, the cup keepers, there's like, where are we going? Like nobody. Everybody was like, I need to go to bed. There was like a handful of us like, you can bring it back to my place. So we brought it back to like my house, and it was not far from our practice facility, like had a nice little roof deck. And I remember we ordered Domino's and ended up sitting up on the roof. I remember sitting with Jonathan Quick, you know, a couple of years before we were being idiots in Manchester, and now we're idiots sitting in, you know, outside of Los Angeles on a roof deck with the Stanley Cup and pizza next to us. It was like, how did this happen? And Quickie was a pretty big reason for that. And he was just a warrior. Battled through real bad back throughout the entire playoffs, and just a pretty special goalie. So it was one of those kind of, put a exclamation point on that moment.
Oh yeah.
Pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, like obviously doing this show, I'm always talking like from the beginning to the end kind of thing, but even just from a couple of years prior, going from the minors with all that same team and to the Stanley Cup. I mean, unbelievable. And you know, when you're sitting there on your patio eating pizza, did you tell them too bad you couldn't get some Windsor pizza instead of Domino's?
I think the Domino's is Detroit based at least, so it didn't feel too far afield. But yeah, I missed the shredded pep and the sauce, but that's all right.
Yeah, we always bring that up, man.
We made it work.
Yeah, but you know, from there, you know, obviously the Kings go on and they continue this dynasty for a few more years. You go on to Carolina first and Calgary. Got to play some hockey in pro hockey, NHL hockey in Canada. Had to have been, pretty cool, right?
Yeah. When you really do kind of build out the checklist of you know, things that you could accomplish, obviously with the big checkbox being make it to the NHL and then winning a Stanley Cup, I obviously would have been fine with that, but it was definitely a nice cherry on top to get back like to Canada to play in a Canadian market. And like, I really did appreciate the fans there. Like it was somewhat of a rough time. They were again entering their rebuilding years, had amazing. It's amazing to see. And I think Jordan Staal might be the only guy left that I played with in Carolina. And I couldn't be happier for how they're doing. And again, the people, still a lot of the same people, or at least a number of the same people in the front office and around the rink. So thrilled that they're, you know, having some success now, especially, Rod the Bod.
Yeah.
Brandon Moore is doing an amazing job, but to do it in Calgary, you know, was awesome. And like, we weren't doing great. But like they loved it. Like they loved, you know, the kind of personality the team had. They had a bunch of, nobodies, but they appreciated the hard work and the grit that they were trying to bring to the ice. And, you know, it's nice to see them having success with my old LA Kings coach and Sutsy bringing the heat and getting them going this year. So, yeah, it was a pretty special place to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it's not where you wrapped it up, but to like, you know, towards the end of your NHL career to be playing in Canada, again, maybe a little like feather in the cap kind of thing before you start to hand it off. And not to skip over Carolina either. I mean, you mentioned that's a team that for some reason I can't hate them. They're just a strong, like now, you know, but even going back then, you know, Jordan Staal has been around from the Stanley Cup team and stuff too, right? So, you know, long history there, I'm sure. Coming from the Kings, you know, given your role there, a little bit of bouncing back and forth from that team, I'm sure, you know, given your talent and learning as well, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, it worked out as a great move on a number of fronts. It was, you know, I got the opportunity to play a little more at times again. The Kings had almost grown beyond my ability to kind of have my job be important to some degree. Again, going, like you said, they continue to be successful, and geez, we're still seeing some of those guys between Kopitar, yeah, Brown and Doughty, Quickie still ticking around. But I think back to that locker room, like with Matt Green and Rob Scuderi and, you know, Willie Mitchell and Jared Stoll, like it's just a bunch of guys that I would accept as a leader for any other team in the league. So it was, yeah, pretty awesome. Wow, Mike Richard, Jeff Carter.
I know that.
Yeah, well, I can keep going, I'm sure.
Yeah, because I was going to say it earlier. I used to play with the Kings on NHL 10 or whatever, and then like we would have the AHL team too. So I would play with the Monarchs once the playoffs were done. So like I knew like every guy. That's how I know like the depth of hockey is from video games. But
I mean, it's a good way to learn. I think I was too old enough. Definitely had my EA NHL 94, the classic. But yeah, collecting trading cards, I think, is how I got to know the league. Like, it is amazing. Yeah.
It's coming back too now. All the cards.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if kids can afford them the same way that we used to.
No, but that's why I just get the Tim Hortons ones because they're a buck. And even then, I'm like, I don't know who this kid is. Like, I should know every guy. I'm like, who the hell is this from Minnesota? Yeah. But you know, speaking of weird markets for hockey, you go overseas to wrap it up in Belfast. Definitely a team I've heard of before over there in the British League. So what was that like for you?
It was an awesome experience living in Belfast for a year. And as a city, it was, and just experiencing the culture, and, you know, for what it's worth, my grandma was Irish and I was able to get my Irish passport. So like, you know, there was something special about that. My family took a, you know, trip when we were getting older, kind of at the end of high school. I think we went over there and toured around Ireland. Obviously, you're playing in Northern Ireland versus down south, but sticky subject. So it was fun to play in Ireland, Northern Ireland, in the UK league. It was, fun to kind of go over there and have a little swan song and experience something a little different with Megan, my wife. She was over there with me. So, yeah, it was really just a nice way to put a bit of period on the end of that hockey time in my life. Really, really fun experience.
Yeah, man. And just be able to travel the world through, you know, the game of hockey is something, again, that I always talk about with people. It's cool to take advantage of it, you know, and see the world and stuff like that. So it's really
no
cool,
question,
you know.
And I went kind of the low impact route where they did speak English there. So
yeah,
didn't quite have the experiences of, you know, some of the guys who went over to the KHL or Swiss league or German league. It was a little softer entry. Yeah. And I did discover probably one of my favorite accents in the Belfast or Northern Irish accent. Do yourself a favor. Liam Neeson is Northern Irish. So it's a good one.
There, more content for the podcast, I guess.
That's right. Add some footnotes to some Liam Neeson quotes or something.
Well, Well, again, man, you decided to wrap it up there. Again, a good way to kind of end it off. And obviously now the VP of hockey development wasn't your first role at the league, I don't think either, but kind of how did you get into it? Did you step in right away, apply for a job? They call you? How'd it go down for you?
So I had, as a player, I was like pretty involved with the Players Association, usually the rep on the team that was on. And when, collective bargaining came up, after we had won the cup in 2012, there was the work stoppage and we had bargaining, and I just, wanted to be involved. I, certainly thought that I could lend a hand and hopefully selfishly learn about, the true business of the sport. And, as a pretty good bonus, like you're meeting, the leadership for the Players Association, the leadership from the NHL, owners. So all in all, it was like, this can't be a bad thing. And, battled through that. That was quite an experience where I'm sure, if anybody who paid attention was probably close to as frustrated as everybody involved, in the boardroom, it would get frustrating where, felt like you made some progress over a couple of days, and then all of a sudden it was like, no, and then not talk for two more weeks. And it's like, God. So it was, and again, learning tons and tons about the business itself, and got to be, as I said, got to know, the commissioner, got to know Gary a little bit, and got to know the deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, pretty well. So as, stayed in touch with the PA, stayed in touch with the NHL, and kind of was looking through my options and kind of began that discussion as, the writing was on the wall. My hockey career was coming to an end as I was over in Belfast. And, I was still a trustee on the pension, which was my kind of focus on during the collective bargaining, and was able to be in New York and meet with Bill and Gary a couple of times. And finally they flipped the switch and said, all right, come on board and figure it out. And had outlined a few things I thought I was good at and hope to help add some value to. And thankfully, they think I'm at least adding some value still to this day. So it was a bit of a winding path getting into where I'm at now, but amazing to kind of get involved. And, again, there's the cliche of giving back to the game, and I definitely hope to continue to make it better than I found it.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's a cool story. It all kind of fell into place, and everything from your, road to that moment really paid off. Obviously being involved in the game, going to school, as we mentioned, I'm sure it was beneficial in some way. So it all has worked out for you. Now, making yourself a great living through the league, not only just through the game, but in the league itself. And, probably very busy behind the scenes, but do you ever get to come home once in a while and visit at least the Berg? Or?
Yeah. The last couple of years accepted for perhaps obvious reasons. I'm not sure how timeless you want to make these podcasts, but
well,
if you're listening to this in the future, there's a pandemic right now. Well, obviously wasn't able to get home last couple summers, but every other year, and hopefully this year coming up, we'll be able to get back to Amherstburg for a week or so. And, thankfully my parents still live in the same neighborhood we grew up in, which is incredible and nice to be able to go back there, see buddies. And, although I feel like half of them, classically emigrated up to Toronto, but, they'll be back. Exactly. And usually get to see some of them and other buddies that that are in the area. So
Again, I thought you were working in Toronto, so I figured it'd be a little bit easier, but now, big city, so obviously it's not as easy to be coming down. But man, this has been a great talk. Thank you so much for taking the time to kind of tell your story, talk about Windsor hockey with me, and the business side of the NHL too. Obviously, something I'm always interested in. So it's cool to have a guy from Windsor on that board, man.
Well, we appreciate it here, and I guess I appreciate it. And it was awesome. I appreciate you reaching out. And this has been fantastic. Fun to relive and some of these days, I definitely imagine myself back in Amherstburg when the big city gets to be a little too busy. Yeah. But it's maybe one day. We'll see.
A huge thanks to Kevin Westgarth for joining me to talk on the Wind City Sports podcast, obviously telling his story, talking about, you know, the county hockey community here in Windsor and beyond out to Chatham. So much to talk about, did talk about, and could have talked about with Kevin Westgarth on the Wind City Sports podcast. Again, just so thankful to be able to talk to people like Kevin and you know, do this show. So a great way to wrap it up for 2021. We kind of talked about at the beginning of the show. We're just going to be off for 2 weeks, and then we'll be back keeping going strong after our brief hiatus the last year and stuff like that. Glad to be back doing this. Still been a great year. It's been a different year for Wind City Sports, but so happy to do this and to have fun with it. So, again, thanks to Kevin. Man, so much we can talk about, so much more we could have talked about. His fights with John Scott, I don't know if you want to talk about it. Obviously, being married to Megan Cower, daughter of Bill Cower, former coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and of course, like Kevin said, his wife being a standout athlete as well. Could have talked so much about that and just so much more could have came up. His day with the Stanley Cup in Amherstburg, a lot of stuff we unfortunately weren't able to get to, but nevertheless, just happy to do it and have him on. So we're going to wrap up this last episode of the year talking about some other local sports. Again, not a lot about the Lancers and the St. Clair Saints as they're on break until the new year. First week of the new year, we'll have hockey, volleyball, basketball, all that stuff back around January 7th, so stay tuned for that. We got some MMA news for you, though. Tony Laramie, younger brother of TJ Laramie of UFC fame, he stepped back into the octagon this past weekend for the first time since 2020. His last fight being a unanimous decision win in March of 2020. And he repeated history with another unanimous decision win over Tyus White in Legacy Fighting Alliance. This went down in Minnesota, actually, on Saturday. It was LFA 120, their 120th card, and Laramie was just before the co-main event, winning by unanimous decision as well, with Reno Balcastro and his brother TJ in his corner, picking up another win for MTC, Maximum Training Center in Windsor. Another news, as you know, the Windsor Express basketball team will be making a return in February. Ball is back, and season tickets are available now. Single day game tickets as well, if you're a big basketball fan. Check out the Windsor Express this year. We need to pump them up this upcoming season for sure. The only really piece of Lancers news we have is on our men's hockey team moving up to 7th place, ranked overall in national rankings in Canada. They moved up from 8th to 7th following their last win there. So some great stuff for our Windsor Lancers team, another great team. And speaking of Lancers sports, the University of Windsor has announced their 2021 inductees for the Alumni Sports Hall of Fame. A lot of track and field stars, and one basketball star in Iva Peklova. Joining Iva are track stars Tanya Sawyers, Rich Tremen, and Kyle Robinson. That is going to be a virtual induction ceremony on YouTube, so Lancers alumni, friends and family, if you're interested in that, you will be able to watch online. Last week, we talked about Will Cooley of the Spitfires and Brett Brochu of the London Knights, but Windsor native joining the World Juniors camp. It's still going on. Probably announcement this week by the time the podcast even comes out Monday morning. We might know who's on our squad, and I can imagine both of them making it. So we are looking forward to seeing that. Lakeshore Canadians still rolling on the wins, undefeated out there in Bell River. LaSalle Vipers putting up some good numbers as well. And we have a local skater, figure skater that is, in Catherine Karen, who won a silver medal representing Riverside Skating Club at the Junior Women's Skate Canada Challenge held in Regina this past weekend. So huge congratulations to her. But that is it this week on the Win City Sports Podcast, and that is it for 2021 of Win City Sports. Wrapping it up quick on the end part of our podcast this week. Again, not a lot of stuff to talk about as Christmas approaches. A lot of things kind of taking a break, as well as myself, as you heard on the show here. 2 week break coming up, and we'll be back on January 3rd for our first episode of 2022. Again, obviously the Spitfires will be rolling out for the next couple weeks and into the new year. We will be on social media telling you about everything that's going on in Windsor. So although we don't have the podcast, be sure to check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at WinCity_sports. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. Subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. Give us a rating, a review, a score on whatever app you might use. And hopefully see you at the New Year's Eve game for the Windsor Spitfires. We'll be promoting that on our social media. So don't forget, we still have a few more home games, at least two more home games coming up here in the rest of 2021. But a great way to wrap it up with Kevin Westgarth. So thanks again to Westy for taking the time to do that. And of course, keep in touch with me on Twitter and Instagram at Drake Damore. And until next time, until next year, smell you later. This episode of the Win City Sports Podcast was brought to you by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. The holiday countdown event continues on as we roll into the new year and as new models approach. They're offering great deals on the new 2020 GMC Yukon, the 2022 Chevrolet Suburban, and the new 2022 Chevrolet Tahoe. And that's just to name a few. We also have a few more 2022s in stock. Great deals, great people down there at Amherstburg Chevy GMC. They're proud to serve all the folks in Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and surrounding areas. They provide top-notch quality service to everyone who walks through the doors, and this includes assistance with picking out a new ride, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. So check them out at AmherstburgGM.com as well, located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, Ontario. Tell them the Win City Sports Podcast sent you too. Hopefully an even better deal, discount you might get. But anyway, we're going to roll through this again. We're going to talk about Amherstburg Chevy in a little bit.